So the third Sunday after the Epiphany, the epistle taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. Do no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as it is in you, having peace with all men. Revenge not yourself, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, revenge is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. So standard to hear the most holy gospel. It's taken from St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see thou, tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doth it. Do it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that follow him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I said to you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, and as thou hast believed, so it be done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. So the words of the most holy gospel, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's take a seat, dear friends. It's a great joy to be here again in California. I was trying to encourage you and to tell you what is happening in the crisis and what we have to do to fight and to sanctify ourselves and to please our Lord. It's always the most important subject matter, especially when we don't pass through you for a few months. And also remember, so people ask me, Father, why you speak so often about the crisis? It's because of the danger. So I have seen this great danger for my whole life, since I was born. Yes. And the greatest danger still is the evil around us in questions of faith. It's always, still is the greatest danger. Remember, our Lord said, without faith, you cannot please God. This is St. Paul's. St. Paul said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the subject matter of the sermon of today. Also because, remember, we have to fight evil and also at the same time to love our Lord with our whole heart, our whole strength. But this battle goes hand by hand. The more we love our Lord, the more we have to fight against evil. In fact, St. Pius X says, the proportion we love our Lord, in the same proportion you have to hate evil and sin and heresies. Because the battle is two-sides battle. It has to be intense, both battles. The battle for to foster my spiritual life towards the love of God and the Blessed Virgin Mary and towards the neighbor, and at the same time to fight evil with all my might, my power, my resolution, my firmness. This battle is every minute to foster love for God and to battle and combat and fight against evil. If you notice, the fighting spirit is what we need the most, the fighting. So I will teach you more about this as we go to the sermon. But what I want to focus, therefore, in the Gospel of today is the announcement of the rejection of the Jews, of the Jewish people. It's in the Gospel of today. Our Lord said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the exterior darkness. Yes. And whereas the calling of the Gentiles from the east and from the west, they shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's a double prophecy, which is coming, is being fulfilled now still. So we know our Lord, the rock, has been rejected. Our Lord, who said, I am the cornerstone, God himself, the divinity of the church built upon Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was rejected. Therefore, our Lord rejected the Jewish, his people. They were the first to reject our Lord. And he said, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to someone who bears the fruits. This is very important, because many of us abuse grace, abuse the opportunities God is giving to us, and we have the presumption and the imprudence to think that it will be forever, the opportunities from God. And very often, we don't have the opportunities. It's limited. God has a number of opportunities that he will give to us, chances. He said, I will come as a robber at night. It's why you have to watch and pray. Watch against the evil and pray to be united to God. It's the two sides of a battle. Watching against the enemy, you have to know who are the enemies. And to keep preaching against the enemies. And to know, to put the veil off, to see who are they and what are the dangers. And at the same time, we pray and we unite to our Lord Jesus Christ through the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints. But he says, I will give it to someone who is going to bear fruits. So if we are not bearing fruits, God may take away from us, God forbid, what we have. It was what happened to almost all people and Catholics in the world last 60 years. Yes? This is very important. So, St. Augustine says, concerning this gospel of today, our Lord praises the centurion, saying, these are words of St. Augustine. Oh, the goodness of our Lord. He admires the faith of his creature, admires the effect of the graces he himself has granted. Remember, when we are a little at our own eyes, and we are serving God, and we want to please him, being faithful to our faith and charity, he contemplates us and is really rejoiced with the saints at looking at his children like this, with that fidelity, bearing fruits. It's a great joy for God and the saints, and our guardian angel. So our Lord sees for one side the faith of the Gentiles surpassing that of the Jews from that moment on with great joy. He prophesies the conversion of the and the vocation of the pagans. And at the same time, he is telling us about the infidelity and the reprobation of the Jews. So it's a terrible sentence of our Lord. So, but this prophecy extended through the centuries, even to today, to former Catholic nations. Those who have been denying the faith, they rejected the kingdom of Christ. And extend today, even to former traditionalists, those who are abandoned the fight, no, like the SSPA, for example. And this is why we have to be careful and to pray like St. Paul. He who thinks he's standing, watch out. You may not fail. You may fail. We may fail in a moment. So our Lord told to the church of Ephesus in the Apocalypse, in the book, he says, be mindful, therefore, for from whence thou art fallen, and do penance, and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of this place, except thou do penance. Our Lord is telling us here that if we don't do the works, the first works of our first fervor when we got converted, when we were after a retreat, for example, except by penance, if you do this, which is the way of the fervent souls, penance, I will remove the graces I have given to you. The faith, because the candlestick is precisely what bears the faith, which is those graces of fidelity. If we are not faithful, God is going to remove it any moment from us, those graces of having the faith. It's the reason why the thermometer to see if we really are faithful to our faith is how much we fight against the errors, heresies, and people and leaders who are trampling under the foot doctrine, faith. Because there is an infinite distance between Catholic divine doctrine and modernist, human, and other religions, philosophies and theologies. Well, they are not theologies really, they are just philosophies. It's an infinite distance between one thing and the other. It's a problem, because many traditionalists, they don't see too much difference. It's why they compromise the faith. It's for infidelity. Eh? When we start diminishing the battle, it means that we don't see too much difference between good and evil, and between truth and falsehood, between truth and lies. And there is a moment in which we are tempted to go this way because we don't see too much difference. Yes. And remember, penance means that we are fighting against ourselves. Why? So Saint Benedict says we must hate our own will, because our own will is human, and we are obliged to follow divine will. So necessarily, my pure human will is going to oppose divine will. That is the reason why we have to hate our own will. Because we have to fight against ourselves first before fighting the devil and the world. If we're not able to fight against ourselves, we are surrendering to the enemy. That's it. Our Lord is very clear. Except thou do penance, you shall not avoid losing the faith, basically. It's so important Because we have a holy religion which is divine. So there is no place here for human feelings and human considerations when they oppose the divine will. No? Which is the case of the SSPX. This is really the case. So let's not abuse God's graces. It's a fact that our faith is weak. We can see that. And this is because liberalism around us. Remember, liberalism detaches our actions from God, from truth, from doctrine, from the will of God. And that way of acting weakens the faith, of course. Because you strengthen the faith only when you live by faith. But if you are a liberal one, or you are used to be in a liberal environment, like the SSPX, for example, you become liberal, of course. Tell me who are your friends, I will tell you who you are. That changed the faith, that changed the mindset. I was telling you in another sermon in the week, the mindset of Absolution Lefebvre and Resistance priest are very far different and very far away from the SSPX priest and faithful. Very different, very far away one from the others, more and more farther as time passes. Because the priority of the Absolution Lefebvre, the Church, the Apostles, and Resistance is doctrine. The fidelity to faith, precisely what we are speaking now. And the priority of groups like the SSPX is not the faith anymore. No, it's themselves. It's not about saving souls anymore, it's about themselves. To protect, to foster, to have benefits, to not to be persecuted, to be loved and admired. And to be led work in their apostolate, but no doctrine, no anymore, no, silence. So, it is not defended our faith because the love of human things. Human things are higher esteem than divine things. It's a fact. So what happened with the Pharisees in times of our Lord Jesus Christ is happening now. What was weakening the religion on times of our Lord was the corruption of doctrine and the lack for love for truth. If it is stolen from us, or we lost the faith or the traditional mindset of our Church of Lefebvre and the apostles, it's because we have not kept the faith. We have been unfaithful to the faith. In fact, San Alfonso María Ligorio says, faith is not lost unless we are unfaithful to the faith. So this is why I want to quote the prophet San Malachi's. Malachi. He's speaking about the infidelity of the people of those times. So we are speaking about 3.5 centuries before Christ. So God speaks through San Malachi, saying, well, no, the prophet Malachi, cursed is the deceitful man that had in his flock a male and making a vow offer in sacrifice that which is feeble to the Lord. So he's saying here, anyone who, instead of offering the sacrifice that they are supposed to offer, they offer a defective sacrifice, something feeble, something that is not for, supposed not to be for God, and God is not the will of God, that sacrifice, will be cursed, a malediction. Exactly what the Council of Trent, Quo Primo, St. Pius V, said to anyone who will modify the Tridentine Mass, that will fall upon those people malediction, anathema, cursing, yes, by modifying the Tridentine Mass. This is what God was doing in the Old Testament also. It is the same sin of Cain. You know, Cain killed Abel precisely because it's the same. So Abel offered to God, Abel, the best of the fruits, the best of his work. Whereas Cain offered not the best. That was the problem. He offered a few things, some animals, a sacrifice, but was not the best. That was the reason why God rejected the sacrifice of Cain and accepted the sacrifice of Abel. It's a reminder that we must be faithful to God in whatever divine things he has given to us and he demands from us to do. In holy faith, in divine things, divine worship. This is what I told you. There's an infinite distance between Tridentine Mass and Novus Ordo Mass. It's an infinite distance. There's no comparison. When was Benedict XVI saying that Tridentine Mass is an extraordinary rite and the Novus Ordo is an ordinary rite, he was put on the same level, both masses. Unbelievable. And nobody rejected, nobody stand up and say it's not possible. They rejoice, even they sing the Te Deum in the priories in the SPX. Te Deum. Because the Mass was released, no. He was played, the Mass was not forbidden. The Holy Tridentine Mass was valid and licit until the end of the world by Pius V, St. Pius V. And the only thing that document of Benedict XVI did was to profanate and to have a blasphemy. It's a blasphemy against the divine things, placing at the same level the Novus Ordo and the divine Mass of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is unbelievable, horrible, abomination. But you see how many people saw that or rejected or complained or fight against that document? No, very few. Very few. So, God said also, said to through the prophet Malachi, he said the following words of God. You say that the offering to me are the fruit of the toil of your work. By saying that, you are doing a mockery of me. It's exactly what the Novus Ordo Mass is about. To say that the mass is the offering of the mass is the fruit of the toil of the work of the world of the hands of men. It's the offertory of the new mass. Exactly what our Lord, that God is saying, that is a mockery of his sacrifice, the divine sacrifice. So for God it's a cult of abomination. As if man were doing a favor to God by offering something human. Basically, it's a human worship of human things. Novus Ordo, no? So the Jews did not believe in Jesus. They believed in themselves, basically. The modernists did not believe in the holy sacrifice. They believed in their own sacrifice. So this is when the new traditionalists, modernist traditionalists, they do not believe in the kinship of our Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in the kinship of their own groups, their own mindsets, their own decisions, their own prudence. So they replace human things for divine things, basically. It's a catastrophe. Because that attitude is infidelity in great matters. And therefore God, like the Pharisees, blinds them as a punishment not to see this great sin, this great imprudence, this great going astray from the faith, from the will of God, from salvation even. Yes, we can say that. So only faith, like the one of the centurion of today, of the gospel, can penetrate behind external things, and then see the divinity, the goodness, the grandeur, the power of God, His mercy. Everything is through faith. St. Paul was very clear. The just man lives by faith. So if we want to unite ourselves to our Lord, it's by faith. If we want to be united at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it's by faith. If we unite to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Rosary, it's through faith. All that we do are supposed to be done by faith, through faith. It's forbidden for us Catholics to live at the pure human level. That is liberalism. And we see that everywhere. Everywhere. So the Jews closed their eyes to the miracles, to the prophecies, because it was St. Paul said. He said, the veil from their hearts has not been removed each time they read Moses in the synagogues. Even until today, they wear a veil. And we can say the same from those traditionalists unfaithful to God in questions of faith. They have a veil already. It's not being removed until they start being faithful and convert and be humble. Because God reveals all these things to the little ones. Our Lord really praised His Father because He was revealing all these things to the little ones, to the humble. It's the reason why pride and infidelity are the worst of all sins. It's the root of everything evil. So basically, the Jewish, the modernist, SSPX abuse grace. Wisdom and grace is being taken by stages from them. We see that. Our Lady in La Salette says the following, at La Salette, punishment shall come due to the infidelities of the priest and consecrated souls. A false light will come upon mankind. Our Lady La Salette says. So, I give you an example just to finish the sermon. So remember, when we speak about people, we don't judge their intentions, their holiness inside, what they have inside of their souls. But we are obliged to uncover what they do at the external forum, in their actions, when there are scandalous. We are obliged to say that. We have to obliged to uncover with our priests and bishops. So we will speak about this example of Bishop Vigano. So Carlo Maria Vigano is very dangerous in this moment for many reasons. First, he committed two heresies, explicit heresies, in his letter to Trump back 3 years ago. First heresy he said was that when God speaks about the women fighting against the seed of the serpent, He identifies men with the descendants of that women, so men in general. Especially the heresy of John Paul II. When John Paul II said that the incarnation, the very fact of the incarnation, was enough for mankind to be safe. Because the seed of the women is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, those who are the children of the women are the Catholics, not the good people. So, Vigano, in that letter, he said that there is a battle between the children of darkness and the children of light. And he said, the children of light are those in goodwill, which is the majority. He said, it's the majority of us. Wrong. In fact, the Catholic Church said the opposite. The minority are those who are faithful to God and those who are saved, a minority. So basically, Vigano is identifying children of light and children of that women are those men of goodwill who want to fight darkness. You see the heresy? It's to say that at the natural level, at the natural level, anyone who has a good will can be considered children of light. No, of course not. He says that in that document. It's anthropocentrism. Is it natural religion? Is it the religion of man? It's a modernism. It's a modernist statement, heresy. Also to say that the evil people is a minority, is what he says in his document, is wrong. It's to identify darkness and the diabolical activity with the only evil, and the people in goodwill, humanly speaking, in natural way, the good people. No, this is ecumenism. This is precisely the one of the modernist teachings of modernism. To say that man is born good and he keeps looking for good things at the natural level, he's going to be pleasing to God and he will be light and he will be safe. It's horrible. These heresies of vegan are horrible, eh? And besides that, Vigano never has done yet the anti-modernist oath. The anti-modernist oath was extremely important. St. Pius X placed it in order to protect the church with an oath upon the Gospels in front of the Blessed Sacrament on the chapel with witnesses. The oath in order to be sure, under the pain of a perjury, that the future priest will renounce to all the modernist teachings. So we need Vigano to do this oath. He did not make the oath. Why we know? Because the oath was removed from the church. The obligatoryness was removed in 67. Yes. And Vigano was ordained in 68. And besides that, we know that when SSPX or Bishop Williamson reordains someone under condition or reconsecrates a bishop under condition, they do not ask for the anti-modernist oath. You will be surprised. They don't ask for this anti-modernist oath. I am witness of that. This is really to despise doctrine in a huge infidelity to doctrine. It's to abandon the fight in the concrete reality. Not to demand a future bishop, a future priest, to make the modernist oath in the midst of the apostasy is beyond imagination. Beyond. The only thing that they do is the very short part, which is the matter and the form for a new priest or reordained under condition, or for a bishop also reconsecrated, without doing the rest of the ceremony. For example, they don't anoint the hands of the Novus Ordo priest reordained again with the holy oil, the holy chrism. They don't anoint the hands, for example. And we asked Bishop Sendejas why he was not doing that. He said, well, we just do the necessary, which is the form and the matter. What are you saying? So we investigated Pius XII. Pius XII condemned anyone who will just do a part of the ceremony, of the ritual for priesthood, for the ordination of priests or the consecration of bishops. Pius XII explicitly says, if it has to be redone, a ceremony, has to be the whole ceremony. I forbid anyone to do just a part of the ceremony for ordination or for consecration of bishops. So they are trampling on their foot very sacred things in sacramental theology and also in doctrine. Not to ask for the anti-modernist oath in the midst of apostasy is beyond imagination. So until Vigano will not do a profession of faith and also the anti-modernist oath, we will not trust in him. It's an example. It's an example of how far are going the traditional groups in infidelity towards doctrine and towards divine things, realities. And how they are failing to denounce these things and to fight against the wolves and doubtful priests or doubtful bishops and bad doctrine with bad doctrine. They don't speak, almost nobody speaks those subjects anymore. Because they want your sacraments. But remember, infidelity doesn't bring grace. God rejects the proud and gives his grace to the humble. So what will be the purpose of receiving many sacraments in the midst of infidelity, when the wolves are loose around, swallowing all the sheep because there is no a shepherd to warn the flock against the wolves? So they don't think about the thing. Fidelity is the most important in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the church. That is the battle of Archbishop Lefebvre, fidelity, which is almost abandoned, almost. And the faithful are not fighting either. They are just worried for sacraments. Not all, of course, but it's a general mindset. It's very dangerous. So this is why we have to warn you. This is why to end, because you was extended too much for you, sorry. But we have to foster in our lives perfect contrition. A way of fighting the devil, ourselves, and the world, and heresies, and at the same time to run towards the love of God and heaven, we must foster perfect contrition every day. And I just remind you before leaving, three conditions to have perfect contrition. Perfect contrition gives back to your soul sanctifying grace even before confession. So three conditions. Well, those are immortal sin, no? You may refer, those who are immortal sin, if they have perfect contrition, God gives back sanctifying grace even before going to confession. So it's to avoid hell fire. So three conditions to have perfect contrition we have to foster every day. First condition, purpose of going to confession as soon as you can with a valid and licit priest, no? Second condition, to hate all your sins, venial and mortal, of your life. Yes, to hate. To have aversion against your own sins or your whole life. And thirdly, the reason why you are sorry is because a pure love for God. Because you love God, because His goodness and He's merciful, and He died for us. So may Our Lady and Saint Joseph help us to understand and to help us to be saints and to fight evil and not to stop fighting evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.